This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, Will is here.
Hello.
Jaden is our special guest panellist, giving us a wave, and my name is Matt. We've brought you stories about raids on gay clubs, about caning of gay men, pride events, lesbian dating apps being shut down, and court rulings in favour of same-sex marriage. And that's all just in the past 3 months. Welcome to the good, the bad, and the ugly of LGBT rights in Asia.
What is behind the upswing and persecution of gay men in places like Indonesia and Malaysia?
What role does the international community play in affecting positive change?
And who will be the first country in Asia to achieve marriage equality?
Tonight, we are looking at all things Asia, the good, the bad and the ugly in LGBT rights across Asia. And we are joined in the studio by Dr. Paula Gerber, a regular on the show, I think we can say, from the Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you. Great to be back here.
Excellent. Now, when we first reached out to you to sort of see get your input on what was happening, we started talking about Hong Kong, and just since that time there's been so much, so we thought rather than do a show on a single country, let's do a bit of a scan of the region. But let's start with Hong Kong. What's the latest in Hong Kong?
Well, I was looking forward to talking about Hong Kong because it was a good news story, and much of the developments, as you flagged, in the region have not been such good news stories. But Hong Kong last month had their inaugural Rainbow Families Forum, and so this is a push. People like the amazing Bess Hepworth, who are really advocating for recognition and respect of LGBTI families, same-sex families in the Asian region. So this was an opportunity for same-sex families and intended parents to come together to share their experiences, progress, regress, contacts, and how to try and advance recognition and respect for same-sex families in the region.
Is there a bit of that about how to get your story out? I mean, I would imagine that story that there are LGBTI families is probably quite hard to get into mainstream media.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that feeds homophobia is invisibility. And there's certainly not a great deal of spotlight on same-sex families in Asia. And when there is, unfortunately, it tends to be the negative stories, like, you know, the banning of surrogacy in India and Nepal and Thailand and things like that, making it even harder for couples to start their families.
The other thing we saw out of Hong Kong is a plan to lift the ban on gay men donating blood, which has kind of become a bit of a topical point around the world, a sort of one of those turning points where countries go, okay, let's not restrict blood donation based on a discrimination as opposed to sexual habits.
Exactly. Blanket bans are never a good thing, whether it's blanket bans on people coming into America from certain countries that, you know, the US courts have all said is not allowed, or it's blanket bans on donating blood based on someone's sexual orientation. It's never a good practice and should always be avoided.
We've had Taiwan recently pass the same-sex marriage, describing as unconstitutional. Now, apparently in Hong Kong, the pro-establishment camp took a tentative step backwards with 27,000 individuals from 80 civil groups and law departments appealing against Hong Kong's High Court decision for spouse and gay rights for civil servants. And they apparently have taken this to the Department of Justice to appeal against the High Court ruling.
Yes, and look, it's always, you know, one step forward and hopefully only one step back, not two, because I'd counter your petition in Hong Kong with the 60,000 petition in Thailand to advocate for marriage equality following the Taiwan decision. And a lot of people are saying that Thailand could well be the next country to legalise same-sex marriage in the region. And, you know, 60,000 signatures on change.org is a fantastic outcome, and even better, was actually well received by the government, by the relevant minister, who said, "I will take this up and act on it as quickly as possible."
Yeah, so by those rough statistics, you would imagine that, 2/3 of any population is supportive of same-sex marriage.
Yes, and when you look at countries like India, I mean, with that, you know, that size population, the number of people who are both LGBTI or, so I should say, or not both, but who are LGBTI or supportive of marriage equality, then, you know, the sheer raw numbers would be staggering.
Yeah.
And yet, how many openly LGBTI people are there in the Indian entertainment industry? There's still a lot of invisibility there, despite what, you know, clearly would be huge numbers.
Let's take that. Bollywood is just phenomenal. It eclipses almost Hollywood itself in terms of its output and its reach. What would it mean, do you think, for an artist to be out, proud, accepted, and in a leading role?
Well, they may be out and proud. Whether they'd still get the leading roles is the question. Mm-hmm. I think the developments in the legal system there with homosexual conduct being decriminalised and then recriminalised, and whenever big decisions like that happen, there's always large public attention to it, good and bad. So,
Of course, they're starting off right behind the eight ball because they've regressed their laws as well in terms of the old English sodomy laws that have been brought back into play.
Exactly, having been it being legal for, what was it? Mm. I can't remember exactly how many years. I think 4 or 8 years, and then suddenly it was criminalised again. But, you know, you talk about what would it mean for someone to be out and proud in Bollywood. Well, what would it mean for someone to be out and proud in the AFL footy in Melbourne?
Yeah.
We can't even, you know, nobody's prepared to be the first one there. So it's a big ask for whoever's going to be the first ones to take those steps.
It takes courage to take those first steps. If I take that football example a step further, there's a hell of a lot of footballers who've just put their name to a video in support of same-sex marriage. The league itself has certainly said, we are supportive. Everybody's yelling out, you know, saying it's going to be fine if somebody comes out, but there's still that barrier.
It is. And I think it is being the first. I think once we've got the first, then, you know, the second
open
and
the
third
floodgates
might come out pretty quickly. Yeah. Being the first, is that what you're going to want to be remembered for? Is, you know, not for your footy prowess, but for being the first gay AFL player?
Mm, good question. Lots of messages coming in. Hello to Dean, listening in from New York City. Thanks, Dean. Love having you aboard. We've also got Paul in Nottingham, UK, who is loving the music of Dami Im. She came second at Eurovision. And Pete has sent a message, listening to Worldwide Rap, I realise why we definitely still need joy. Good roundup. Thanks, Pete.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam Apple and Top from Apple Models in Thailand. The world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've stopped off in the Asian region with Dr. Paula Gerber from Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation. Messages are coming in, and a few messages of condolence regarding the attack in Brighton. Stay strong and never let fear override the good people in our society. That's from 317. Hoffler also sending regards. His dad's local member is Tim Wilson MP, who conducted himself in a thoughtful and professional manner, along with our hardworking police force. So lovely messages there. The other thing that has absolutely fired up our Facebook page this week has, of course, been former tennis star Margaret Court and her comments, some of which I can't read out because it really did fire things up. She's been called hateful. The only Hitler type here is Margaret. enough is enough, this nutter must be silenced. I want to put a slightly contrary view and be interested in your thoughts on this, Paula. I don't mind that she's spoken up and that it has become a furore, because I think the more people like Margaret say things, the more reasonable people go, gee, that's not fair, that's not reasonable, that's not me.
I think that's right, although it can also at the same time give courage to other people to express their views. Well, if it's okay for Margaret Court to say homophobic comments like that, then it must be okay for me to say them as well. So it can empower people to say
it both ways.
Yes, but the other perspective I get on that is, if you look at LGBTI rights in Asia, the countries that have made the greatest advances are those where human rights generally are respected. So let's take Taiwan, for example. Taiwan has set itself apart from China by being a democratic country, by respecting human rights, by having free speech. And that makes it easier, I'd suggest, to respect LGBTI rights if you put it in a more general human rights framework of equality and non-discrimination. So I don't think we want to be seen as saying, well, we want LGBTI rights and we want marriage equality, but we don't want free speech. Free speech means letting people who disagree with you have their voice as well. How much oxygen you give to it is another question. But I'd say we don't want to be in a country where free speech is silenced. I don't want vilification. I think we need to have laws prohibiting vilification. But I don't know whether Margaret Court's words amounted to vilification. I think it was just
misguided.
Bigotry,
yep. Now, no discussion of LGBTI issues within Asia could be complete at this very time without talking about Indonesia. Last October, we spoke to Didi Otomo from Gaya Nusantara, which is one of the lead LGBT rights groups there. And at the time, he was sort of saying, look, it's not too bad. We've kind of heard this before and we've got through it. Since then, everything seems to have been ramped up, and now advocates within Indonesia are quite concerned and quite frightened. What is going on in Indonesia?
A very good question, and I don't know that too many people have the answer to it. There has been a gigantic shift in the treatment of LGBTI people. I mean, Indonesia used to be well respected and regarded for their tolerance of diversity. And I'd say, the crackdown is also against Christians as well. It's not just against the LGBTI community. So it seems to be that the acceptance of difference is rapidly contracting. And I think the most frightening thing about this is that it's coming from the government, from the political leaders.
Yes.
Because as I said earlier, it emboldens other people. And if it's been sanctioned by the government, then it must be okay.
And very high levels of the government, like ministers, have been speaking out quite openly against LGBT people.
Absolutely. And whereas, I mean, we've always gone, okay, Aceh is a very conservative area, but it's a long way from Jakarta, geographically.
They do their own thing.
Yeah, it's quite separate. But now we have the deputy police commissioner in a region, West Java police chief, who said, I am setting up a special task force to investigate LGBT activity in the province. And this is right on the doorstep of Jakarta.
So this is not an Aceh province-driven initiative spreading through the system?
No.
Okay, so it's because there's many parts to Indonesia, as we all know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, when I hear and read this news, I think of the Aceh province.
And which is the only part of Indonesia where it's a crime to be gay. But now there's all sorts of talk about, and it's never been criminal in Indonesia other than in Aceh to engage in same-sex sexual conduct. But now they're talking about, for the first time, criminalising it. But even if it's not criminal, the sexual act itself, they're finding all sorts of other laws that they use to charge and convict people of essentially gay behaviour. And people who, like Didi, who were involved in setting up LGBT groups, in the 1980s, say it's never been this bad. this is a really dark moment in our time.
Oh, we have lots of holidaymakers. They go to Bali, for example. So have we had any evidence or reports of Westerners being caught up in these new crackdown at all?
Not so far. I haven't heard anything, but I think it's just a matter of time because, you know, you put gay and Westerner together and there's often a... You see it more in Africa than in Asia, perhaps, but this idea that being gay is a Western concept. So if Indonesia goes down the path that we've seen in Africa sort of nations, then we're likely to see a crackdown on Westerners because they are the ones that are bringing in this immoral, very much in quotation marks, conduct into, you know, a good Muslim country like Indonesia, which is, of course, the largest Muslim democracy in the world.
Yeah.
It seems to be that there's this, equally as there's the negative domino effect, there's the potential for a positive domino effect. We talked about Taiwan there with their ruling in favour of same-sex marriage and the positive impact that might have on other Asian cultures. But then we get these instances which might swing cultures to the negative. Is it too simplistic to say religion is a dominant part of this?
It's a little bit simplistic is, I think, not the word I'd use, but it's more complex than that. So when we look at which countries are doing the best at respecting LGBTI rights and which ones are doing the worst, religion often plays a factor in the countries that are doing it badly, but also so do traditional values, if you like. So South Korea, you don't think of as a particularly religious country, and yet there's some worrying trends happening there. So Japan is another one. You don't think of it as a religious country, but they just reviewed their curriculum, which they only do once every 10 years, and once again said we're not going to include anything about sexual orientation or gender identity because the society is not ready to accept it. So in primary school, in high school, the sex education still says, you know, as you enter puberty, as you become an adolescent, you will start feeling attraction for the opposite sex. So you've got to look at a sort of take a nuanced approach, and the reason why we have to do that is because there is no one-size-fits-all solution to this. So what's worked in Taiwan, we can't just take that and say, okay, now let's apply that in Indonesia. Let's do a court challenge or whatever. You've got to very much tailor and listen to the local LGBTI activists as to what they need in order to advance LGBTI rights in their country, in their circumstances.
Which is what Kaleidoscope specifically does.
Exactly.
And yes. We tip our hats to you. Have you noticed, I guess, a greater calling on your services and your support from these countries?
We certainly in recent times have been focusing more on the Pacific and working with groups in Tonga and Fiji and Samoa and the likes. But I think with this recent crackdown, it is very recent that our focus may be turning a bit more to Asia. And also in my day job, if you like, as a professor at Monash University, where I work in human rights law, we are reaching out to people like Dee Dee to partner on doing some research so that we can provide evidence-based research to inform the Australian government's position on these issues. So I was recently up at DFAT on Idaho Hobbit Day with Michael Kirby talking to the DFAT team about what should Australia be doing to advance LGBTI rights in the region.
Is that research in their home country around what?
It's talking to people in a select number of Asian countries about what can the Australian government do to help advance LGBTI rights in your country. Because you might think, well, there are still 12 countries in Asia where it's a crime to be gay. So obviously the number one priority is decriminalisation. But then if you go and actually talk to the local activists, they go, well, actually, no one's been prosecuted under that law for decades. Let's take Singapore as an example. What we really need is anti-discrimination laws so that we cannot be discriminated against with impunity when it comes to employment or housing or access to health or access to education. So far more helpful to us would be for the Australian government to use their back channels, if you like, to advocate for anti-discrimination legislation. You might go to a different country like Taiwan and they say, we want marriage equality. That's what's going to help us most. And obviously Australia couldn't play any role in there without being very hypocritical. So it's about taking a nuanced, tailored approach, listening to activists about what they need from us.
With that, are we or the Australian government, are we doing a good job at this, pushing this in countries like Indonesia, and are we doing a good job, simply?
It varies, I'd say. I think in the Pacific, the feedback I'm getting from some local activists there is that they really value the Australian government and the support that they've been giving them. So, for example, Fiji, you look at on paper, it looks like a great place to be gay. One of the first countries in the world to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in their constitution, South Africa being another. And yet, they recently applied for a permit for a pride march and were denied the right to conduct a pride march. And the Australian consulate over there provided the facilities for the LGBTI people to gather and to have a meeting and have discussions as a safe sort of space, safe haven for them to gather together and talk. And so things like that and funding is something that we can very much assist with. Groups in Papua New Guinea, they have no money. And, even small grants from the Australian government can make a huge difference to groups like Kapul Champions in Papua New Guinea.
Message in on 0427JOY949 from 317. Paula is insightful and on fire. Well done.
Well done.
Love it. This is World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but World Wide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
Next to me, and I hope it's the same for
Joy 94.9, Worldwide Wave. Now, that was a slightly different mix to what you've probably heard here on Joy. That's I Want to Know. It's by Alesso and Joy Lin Tsai. Now, Joy Lin Tsai is Taiwanese, and she's often referred to as the Asian Madonna. I'm not quite sure if that's the outfit she wears or...
is that a compliment? She actually,
I think it is.
I'm just trying to get the vision
of
an Asian
really
Madonna.
She's got a really big queer following in Taiwan. Hey, David has heard our call, David from Parkville, and has just renewed and taken out his membership. Joy.org.au is the place to go. David, you're in the running for all those great prizes. Thanks for being a part of the Joy family.
Thank you.
Paula, we touched very briefly on Singapore there because there has been... it is one of the countries, surprisingly, I still can't quite get my head around this, but it is still illegal, or same-sex relations are still illegal there in Singapore. There seems to have been some proddings from the government to try and block out international involvement. There's been a push to stop international people attending the Pink Dot event. There's been a push to try and prevent international corporations from sponsoring that event. That blissfully backfired because local companies then donated more than they were after anyway. What's the role of the international community in somewhere like Singapore?
It's a fascinating question because when you look at what is feeding the homophobia, it's often American evangelical churches travelling to these countries to... promote their agenda of homophobia. So we see that very much in Africa. There's a great documentary called God Loves Uganda that I'd really yes. recommend to your listeners that really just exposes how Uganda used to be a country that tolerated, I wouldn't put it much higher than that, but tolerated same-sex relations, and they turned into one of the most homophobic countries on earth. Why? Because of these evangelicals coming from America. And not long after I'd been to a conference on LGBTI rights in the UK with a lot of people from different African nations, I went and saw the Book of Mormon musical in London and everyone else loved it, standing ovation, and I just was sick to my stomach because it was far too close to the truth of these religious groups going and preaching hatred where it wasn't previously happening. And we're seeing a lot in the Pacific. I was talking recently to some activists from Samoa, and they said that's their biggest fear is the spread of these outside religious organisations preaching hatred. So then you look at Singapore and you go, well, they're trying to stop external influence, but it's not the external influence that's promoting homophobia. It's the external influence that's actually promoting human rights and respect for human rights and acceptance of all and equality in that. So,
for those ones in the Pacific, the evangelical churches, are they? Do you know if they're coming out of America or out of Australia?
They're actually coming, I was told, out of Perth.
Right.
Wow.
Mm. It's not related to the Margaret Court story we're just talking
about. Don't know. I didn't probe deeply enough as to which churches exactly. But I imagine, you know, sort of the, without naming names, I'm going to name names, Hillsong and things like, you know, organisations like that really...
These Australian-based churches, or would there be American-based churches that have influence in the Singapore region, would you suggest?
I suspect, I'm not aware of the influence of the churches in Singapore, okay. So I can't pinpoint where that's coming from. But I guess, you know, the point to make is that the attempt to ban external influence is very tailored to the pro-LGBTI groups, not the anti-LGBTI groups.
A couple more messages coming through. One's from 760 talking about, this is about the Margaret Court issue as well, and John McEnroe's comments in support of same-sex marriage and the idea of having a mass gay and lesbian wedding on the court, which is hilarious and thoughtful. I love that idea too. And 317, here's an interesting one, because there has been talk, and indeed SBS has the rights for Eurovision in Asia. 317 says that might promote GLBTI rights in the region by giving greater exposure to GLBTI artists.
Yes.
Eurovision Asia? You reckon that's a winner?
I'd be there. Yeah, absolutely. You know, don't come between the gay community and a good song.
I want to talk about Taiwan. It's the big issue. It's so exciting. Now, let's clarify. They haven't got same-sex marriage yet.
They have not. But
tell us what the status is.
Okay, so a bill went before the Taiwanese parliament and got through the first step last year, I think it was. And then there was a challenge in the Constitutional Court alleging that the prohibition on marriage equality breached the Constitution because it breached freedom to marriage and the right to freedom of marriage and also the right to equality for all. And with great trepidation, we waited for these 14 judges to hand down their decision. And the sense was that if they came strongly down in support of a ban on same-sex marriage, then that would send a clear message to Parliament that, big tick, you can go ahead and continue with passing this legislation. Because it's legislation to amend their civil code there, which is in the same terms really as we have in Australia. That is, it defines marriage as being between a man and a woman. And much rejoicing when the Constitutional Court came down and said this prohibition on or this limitation on marriage being only between a man and a woman violates our constitution. Parliament, you've got 2 years to remedy it.
And what happens if they don't?
If they don't, then it automatically becomes that they can marry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that setup.
And it was the same approach as the Constitutional Court in South Africa. So, of course, South Africa is the only country in the African continent which has marriage equality. And for the same reasons, a challenge in the Constitutional Court, the court said, you have this period of time to amend your laws. And the government did, very reluctantly, kicking and screaming. But they got there.
Do you expect that to be the process? Because they have a lot of loss of face culture, so they'll probably by default just do nothing and allow it to pass without saying anything.
No, I think that it is going to embolden the leaders. They the Prime Minister in her campaigning for the top office very much came out in support of LGBTI rights and of marriage equality. So, but then has been disappointingly quiet on this since then. So I think that this might be the sort of the sanction that she needs to go ahead with this.
This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to Worldwide Wave.
And a huge thank you. First of all, actually, another donation has come in. Shane from Middle Park, thank you so much for doing that. You are also in the draw for all those great prizes, for all the messages we've had tonight, a huge number of them. And because we have a very popular guest on, Dr. Paula Gerber from Kaleidoscope Australia, where can people find out more about what you do? And I guess, what can people do?
Another great question. So it's wonderful to have Joy Radio as an avenue to spread the word about what's happening in our region and to increase awareness about the human rights violations and the human rights celebrations that are happening on our doorstep. But people often feel powerless to know what to do. How can they support LGBTI activists in these countries? And really, you know, so many of these not-for-profit organisations over there that are fighting for human rights, that are fighting for LGBTI rights, are doing it on the smell of an oily rag. So if you can spare just $20, $50, $100, that can make a huge difference to their work over there. So I'd really encourage listeners to go to kaleidoscopeaustralia.com, which is the organisation I'm involved with. But there's also many others. There's the Asia Pacific Transgender Network. There's Asia Pacific Rainbow Families that I mentioned earlier, which are all sort of regional organisations. But there's also country-specific ones. You know, if you have a real affiliation with the LGBTI community in Nepal, then Blue Diamond Society there. In Sri Lanka, it's Equal Ground. The organisation in India that brought the challenge to the criminal laws is the NAS Foundation. So there's, lots of opportunities. Just give what you can. It'll make a big difference.
A big thank you to all of our messages tonight, both through the SMS and on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks to our podcaster, Mark, our panellist tonight, Jaden, Richard for his music suggestions, and Gordon on the front desk.
And we will catch you next week for another country on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.